The Love of Scotland, written by Barbara Cartland, narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1868. Julia climbed out of bed and then pulled back the curtains from her bedroom window. It was wide open, and at once the sun enveloped her in its rays. She realized, as she expected, that it was a beautiful day, and it would be very hot later on. She glanced down at the garden, which seemed to her to become more beautiful every day, and certainly every summer. Even as a small child, she had been delighted when her nanny had pushed her pram into the flower garden. She would delight at the continual buzzing of the bees circling round the flowers and the butterflies fluttering above them. She knew when she looked out now that she must go into the garden as soon as possible. Hurriedly, she then pulled on her clothes, taking out the first dress that came to hand from the wardrobe. She thought that it was not herself who would look attractive, but the flowers she was longing to see, as well as swathes of spring blossom. It only took her just a few minutes to dress, and she brushed her hair without even looking in the mirror to see if it was tidy and neat. She ran to the door and pulled it open. It was so early in the morning that the servants had not yet drawn the curtains. The passage was in darkness, with only a faint glimmer of light emanating from the hall below. There was, however, no need for guidance. She was only too anxious to be in the garden and to be surrounded by beauty. She had lived at the manor since she was born, and to her it was the most beautiful house in the whole world, without any exceptions. She ran down the stairs, unlocked the door, and let herself out. Then, as the sunshine covered her, she ran into the flower garden. She felt that the flowers were waiting for her, and they needed her as much as she needed them. It was 3 hours later that Julia went back to her bedroom to tidy herself for breakfast. She had spent all those hours, as she loved to do, amongst the glorious kaleidoscope of flowers. She had walked down from the garden towards the lake. She wanted to swim in the cool water, but she had promised her father that, as the lake was so old and deep, she would never swim there alone. She would always have someone watching her, just in case she got into trouble. It was a promise that she had always kept, because the lake was so much an integral part of her life, just as the garden and house were the background to everything she thought about and felt in her heart and soul. Now the front door was open, and the servants had already brushed and dusted the hall. She went slowly up the stairs, looking with pleasure at the magnificent pictures above the mantelpiece and on the walls on either side of it. A great number of the pictures had been collected by her father's family all down the centuries. They were the great pride and delight of the family, including Julia's older brother, who would one day inherit them when he succeeded to her father's title. What her father had said, and what she knew always lay at the back of his mind, was that he himself was the only member of their illustrious family who had not been able to add to its marvellous collection. Because life had altered so much over the centuries, the Westwoods were not as rich as they had been more than 100 years ago. In fact, they now had to spend their money with the greatest care. They most certainly could not add to the pictures or to the library, as her father's ancestors had managed to do so successfully. In fact, the library was often quoted as being one of the finest privately owned libraries in the country, just as the
sample complete. Ready to continue?